Some of the, several of the songs this morning, a couple of them that Brother David had led, Come Unto Me, and and you mentioned this, specificity of, somebody did, I think Brother David did, of those, when why we should go to God and all. It reinforced what I believe I have on my mind this morning. A couple of them I noticed spoke of the blood of Christ, certainly foundational reason that we would even speak on anything. So continue to pray. I want to get one verse. I'm going to try to dwell on and preach on Psalm 142, but I want to grab a verse from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, speaking of the whole armor of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Then in 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter, I believe around the 17th verse, is pray without ceasing. So in Psalm 142, we have one of many examples of David speaking of prayer and the situation here, this scene, I'd like to set up for you. But in Psalm 142, right above that first verse, as it's laid out in our Bibles, it says, Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Maskil of David, a prayer when he was in the cave. Maskil is simply an instructional poem. It's instructional. Now, if we read, probably scan over that 142nd Psalm very quickly, I think, well, it's a prayer. It's to God. He pours out his prayers in supplication to God, just as I read in Ephesians. But it is instructive. It teaches us what we're to do in, I guess, just about all situations in relation to prayer. I will confess, my human nature does not want to do that. My human nature just wants it fixed. I don't want to suffer whatever it is, or if I've suffered it a while, why doesn't it go away? What's the reason behind it? And as many do, I have to confess, there's been times where I ask, why is God doing this to me? That's a terrible question. Why is God doing this to me? Why is he allowing this to happen? And we'll see some of this in here, using David as an example. But it is instructional. But it says, a prayer when he was in the cave. Everywhere, as I studied through this, and about this cave where he was, everywhere commentators, any writers on this, anyone that had any opinions, always said it was either one of two caves. They weren't sure. It's not hugely important that we know which cave it is. Each one of those caves that we have documented that David had hidden in at two separate times, have some good thoughts in them. So whichever one, and they both can relate to this Psalm 142. In 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 22, tells us of one, this Cave Adullam. First verse of that chapter 22 in 1 Samuel says, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam, And when his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. He had just escaped. He's fleeing King Saul, who was out to kill him. But he has escaped this king of Gath in this particular situation. So he went and escaped to this cave, Adullam. So this is when this is seems to be the cave. If you take a poll of who all reads Psalm 142, this is the cave they think that he was in when he wrote about this cave in Psalm 142. Let me get the second verse though, and then I'll mention the second cave. It says in the second verse of chapter 22, 1 Samuel, and everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him, and he became a captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. So if in fact this is the scene when David was in this particular cave, when we will eventually read that 142nd Psalm, then he has 400 men, and I just described who they were in distress and debt and discontented. David being a type of Christ, I think of the ones that go to Christ. Think of me. This covers me in distress, in debt, discontented. And that song, Come Unto Me, that you led, Brother David, it mentioned all of those in there. Come unto me and take my yoke upon you. We go to Jesus Christ, certainly. But all of these 400 men went unto him in this cave. About 400 of them, of men. So that's that cave. We're going to jump to the 24th chapter, of just a couple of pages over of 1 Samuel, chapter 24. And here's the other potential cave when they say, it was either this cave or that cave that Psalm 142 is speaking of. And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. So Saul is after David. We're all familiar with that. He's out to kill him because now remember, Saul was anointed king. Now David has been anointed king. And so then the third verse says, and he came to the sheepcotes by the way, where was a cave. And Saul, this is Saul now, went in to cover his feet. Then it says, wrapping up that third verse, and David and his men remained in the sides of the cave. So now you've got David and his men were already in the cave, and they were in the sides of this cave, this cavernous area in there. And now here comes Saul, King Saul and his men. He goes into the cave to cover his feet, and so David and his men are in there, but they don't do anything immediately. And you can see even in that certainly the providence of God in protecting David, who has been now anointed king, but Saul already had been anointed as king, but he's in there. If Saul finds David, he's going to kill him. So then it says in the fourth verse, and the men of David said unto him, behold the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hand, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. Then David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe privily. Secretly he goes and cuts off his skirt. He could have killed the man that was out to kill him, because Saul was not aware of this. And it says, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So David the anointed king knew that that Saul was anointed king by God. He respected the Lord, and the Lord forbid him to kill him. And he cut off his skirt, and then Saul then was aware of this. This is all in this cave at En-Gedi here. Now, in this, I see that they could have very well, as his men advised him, the Lord said, behold, he's going to present your enemy to you and to do with what you see is good. So they could see this as the providence of God. What are, and I hate to use this phrase, but for lack of a better term, and to move on, but what are the odds that Saul would then go into this same cave and all his men that David and his men were already in on the sides in there? And then for them not to discover or hear something, kicking over a rock or something, I mean, just think of it. And the providence there, the protection in that cave, this cave of darkness, of danger. I don't know what kind of light they had down in there. We've been in caverns where we go on these tours, you go in there, and they turn off all the lights, and it is pitch dark. You can't see anything. They're in there, and so his men's telling him this, really advising him, this is providentially provided by God. You go kill the one that's out to kill you. And so David did not do that. Now, in some point in here, he prays to God in this cave. I believe this teaches us that, and I, this is one of the things I have to be so aware of and careful of, is judging or determining that I have seen or judged the result of the providential hand of God. The providence of God in guiding my path. That, okay, this is what I'm supposed to do. I think it's good that we should look for that. Is this what God would have me to do? And this worked out this way. I don't believe in luck. I believe we're guided by God. He doesn't guide. He does not predetermine our every footstep and our actions and our words. But He does guide us. I believe He has. I tell you what, in the last year He certainly has. Has He not? But we have to judge that. David judged correctly here. He didn't kill him. Everything in God's own time here. And so we see this. So this is the scene here. Now, let me, as I head back to Psalm 142, let me go by Psalm 57 and get a contrast here of Psalm 142. Psalm 57. This also says to the chief musician, Mishtam of David, when he fled from Saul in the cave. So here's this cave again. Be merciful to me, O God, be merciful unto me, for my soul trusteth in thee. Yea, in the shadow of thy wings will I make my refuge until these calamities be overpassed. Now, I'm not going to read this entire Psalm 57, but in this one here, there's singing involved here in this psalm. And it's more, and we haven't yet read Psalm 142, but we'll see the dread and the danger and so forth, that mood in that psalm. In this one, contrasting, there's almost a hopeful, a joyous feeling here. He mentions things like the God most high, unto God that performeth all things for me. God shall send forth his mercy and his truth. Verse 3. Verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Seventh verse. My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise. Awake up, my glory. Awake, psaltery and harp. I myself will awake early. It seems to be a joyful thing. Yet it's still in that cave, still there. It's the same scene. I think of Paul and Silas in prison, and they sang there in prison. That's what they chose to do, being locked up in prison. So here we have this same cave here in David's life, but a joyous singing here involved in that psalm. Now, before I go to Psalm 142, let me get one verse out of Habakkuk. the second chapter of Habakkuk. If I can find it, it's not very large. Habakkuk chapter 2, verse 2 and 3. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run and readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. So their vision is yet for an appointed time, but wait for it, as it will surely come. As we're experiencing things, I don't have, I'm sure all of you think that I'm the most patient person on earth, but I am not. I want everything and I want it now, and I get impatient in my actions, and I'll try to be as David did, impatient in waiting on the Lord and all. But like I said, I want everything to be over and done with, whatever the testing, the tribulation, and I haven't had the so many people are, well, let's just take the physical situations and pains, and Uncle Herman mentioned the those that have been diagnosed with terminal illnesses, and the back pains, and all the other things. I have not yet, at least, been plagued with that. Maybe I won't, but you wonder. But it's like it will not tarry. There is an appointed time. Now, we're going to see King David himself experience something here. And we know there is someone literally out for his life, for his blood here, King David's. And so in Psalm 142, I cried unto the Lord with my voice. With my voice unto the Lord did I make my supplication. Now, as my uncle prayed this morning, he said, well, I probably won't need this microphone. And it was pretty loud at first and all. But we're to cry unto the Lord with our voices. I typically pray, and even in my home, in silence. Certainly in our hearts, we're to shout to heaven, to God Almighty, with our complaints, our troubles, our supplications, our praises and thankfulness to Him, and so shouting within our hearts. And remember, throughout this, as I read this Psalm 142, the scene that David, I keep wanting to say Paul for some reason, David is in this cave. Either way, he's not alone. He's got men. He's either got 400 men in one case. I don't know how many in the other. All these that are in debt and discontented, in distress, that are there. So whatever that situation, it doesn't matter. He's not alone. But so many times, I've not ever suffered this as he had, hiding from my life anywhere, whether it be in a closet, a cave, or whatever it is. But I have felt alone. And we know, as we read and study those that have suffered depression, or they're in mourning, and there seems to be no solution and no end to it, yet they're surrounded by so many people, but they still are down emotionally and depressed, or suffering, and maybe one of these reasons that were either in that song, Come Unto Me, or in that verse over in 1 Samuel, but they're suffering these things. David was suffering here. They were laying snares, gins, as it says here, and wiles out there to trap him privily, secretly, and he was fearing for his life, trying to do what the Lord would have him to do. But at this point, God was teaching David how he was to act and to pray in the presence of an almighty God. Had David prayed there in the palace, maybe he wouldn't have been succumbed to the sinfulness that he succumbed to, and where he had to have someone murdered and all. That was, here he is in a cave. And we'll see his outlook, his mood here and his words through from his heart, but yet he's over in a palace. Everything should be great. He finally is king, and he's recognized and no longer in danger there in the palace, and yet things don't go as well there. He's in this cave. He's not alone, but he's in darkness, in the cave of our temptations and our trials and our tribulations. Even if we're surrounded by those that we love, many times there is loneliness and darkness there. But don't forget that David is a type of Christ. You remember that verse? I believe it's in Luke, where Jesus was exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Jesus has been in that darkness, as Son of Man has, I should say, in darkness and alone. Everyone deserted him there. And so in this darkness then, and the aloneness, David prays. He says, I poured out my complaint before him. I showed before him my trouble. I have been guilty of this, I pray around things. Number one, when we pray, this is something that's so obvious, but we already know that God knows all of it. He knows what we're going to pray. He's all-knowing. He knows what we've done that we need to beg forgiveness for. He knows what He's done for us when we're praying a prayer of thanksgiving. And what I see in His mercy is that when I'm uttering a prayer, me not knowing what I'll do in the future, but Him knowing, He didn't predetermine it, but He knows, He's all-knowing, but knowing what wicked thing I may do, He still answers that prayer, knowing all well what I'm going to do. So merciful, but we should not pray around things. I have learned in being specific, more specific in my prayers for certain things. Now, if I don't know what someone needs specifically, then I don't know exactly how to word that prayer. But certainly God's will be done in that. But in my own life, something that I am suffering, some trial or tribulation, temptation, then I know to pray for that specifically. And I've seen the answers to those prayers. I've seen them. And David saw it as well here. I showed before him my trouble. When my spirit was overwhelmed within me, then thou knewest my path. In the way wherein I walked, have they privily laid a snare for me. I looked on my right hand and beheld, but there was no man that would know me. Refuge failed me. No man cared for my soul. Think again about Jesus Christ. He tread the winepress alone. All his disciples forsook him. They fled him. Now, he told them there in the Garden of Gethsemane, let these men go. I'm the one you're after. He mercifully said that. And plus, that scripture would be fulfilled. And it was. But they all fled from him, denied him, and so forth. David had all these men there, or all these people where he became their captain, distressed, discontented, in debt. And so they had all around, but yet he had no refuge among them. And we don't. I lean on so many people in my life, and they don't even realize it. But I lean on them. In thinking and meditating upon maybe their actions, something that gives me strength, I think, through God. But my true refuge, my rock, is Jesus Christ Himself. It was David's. He never saw him. He didn't live at the same time. Neither have I. We're on this side of that. But anyway, it says, no man cared for my soul. Fifth verse here. I cried unto thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my refuge and my portion in the land of the living. Attend unto my cry, for I am brought very low. Deliver me from my persecutors, for they are stronger than I. Bring my soul out of prison, that I may praise thy name. He wasn't in prison at this point. He was in prison figuratively. He was in a prison there. Think again in this cave where he is. He's hiding out for his very life here. And has he? And but he's seeking through this, this did not have to take place in the life of David, of King David. Everything could have gone perfectly smooth in transitioning one king to the next, and so forth. But this happened, and there was a reason for it. God is not the creator of evil, of wickedness, and he will not cause those things. We just look at the depravity of mankind. There's the wickedness and the evil, and then things are going to happen. Romans 8, 28, 29, 30 are all in there. All things work together for good. It is not talking about everything that happens in your life. It listed those all things right there in those few verses. That's the all things. Because evil and wickedness works against good and holiness. It works against it. It does not, everything does not work together in our lives. Bring my soul out of prison that I may praise thy name. Why does he want God to bring his soul out of prison? That he might praise his name. David did that. He did that. That's a sincere prayer there. The righteous shall compass me about, for thou shalt deal bountifully with me. So this is a contrast Psalm 142 with Psalm 57 in singing those things unto God in that cave. And then this utterance, the supplications to God. I'll get the first verse of the 143rd Psalm. Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications in thy faithfulness, answer me, and in thy righteousness. He had the right frame of mind here. He was taught something here and prayed to God. Now, let me go to, I think, two other psalms. Psalm 46. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear. Ninth verse says, He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth chariot in the fire. Reading that ninth verse, I think of today. This again, when he speaks of the Lord of hosts, and speaking of him, of God being our refuge, it's not the God of this time. It's God, period. God, an eternal God, the great I am. So the same one, I can't emphasize that enough, the same God here in David's life. He is our refuge from when we are in prison, when we're in the caves of darkness, either we're alone literally or among those, even surrounded by those that would give us refuge there. And then he says, so he can do this, make wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. He can do those things. The many wars today, and not just the physical battles with weapons, physical weapons and so forth, but the wars and the battles among humans, among sinners here. It's the same God today, and he has the ability and the power breaketh these things. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to do as David did, to be still. He didn't go over and kill Saul as he could have. Who would have, if Saul had awoken there, he would have killed David at that point, but David knew. He waited patiently. The vision, it come at the appointed time there. Now, Psalm 61, Hear my cry, O God, attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Sometimes our hearts are so overwhelmed. Sometimes the cave is so dark and we can't find our way. Certainly can't find our way out of it. And yet Him being our refuge and our guide, He leads us to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. We choose that now. I can't imagine not having the church today going through and seeing what we're seeing happening in the world. But He's provided, already set up His kingdom here, of which we are now a part. And one day we will go to that great kingdom of heaven itself, where He now is sitting upon His throne. Now let me close with this again, second chapter of Habakkuk. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it. Wait for it, because it will surely come and will not tarry. God blesses us with what we need to call upon Him. He puts us through things that teach us and guide us. I've had, we spend so much of our time working in our secular jobs, and I've had jobs in the past where I was just burdened down, finally blessed to get out of those toxic situations. But in that, I found as a result of some of those, one in particular, I found that I was taught to pray more earnestly. And it's a shame that I have to be put through something like that before I actually remember to pray to God for even a solution to that, or to pray a prayer of thanksgiving. But then to read my Bible more. We're put through things sometimes, as David was. But I tell you what, David was the anointed king. We've been made kings and priests unto God. We've been saved by the blood of Christ. And now we experience things that only children of God experience. In our lives, looking forward to that day when we'll not have to suffer those things any longer. We'll be in the presence of that one to whom we pray right now, and certainly He is present with us. May God bless and keep you, is my prayer. Amen. We'll sing a song now and open the doors of the church. If anyone has a desire to join, you let us know, and then we'll shake one another's hands if you so desire.